Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
We're just two buds. We like to talk about serums.
Yeah, we are buds.
We're buds.
Yeah.
Buds on the pod.
How's it going, Kate?
Dori, it's great. It's great. It's hot here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it sure is.
Which I realized to somebody listening in Minnesota or Chicago, it's going to be annoying to hear us complain about it being warm. So you know what? I won't do it.
You know, I posted the temperature on my Instagram story today, and a couple people, we're recording this in April.
Yes.
A couple people in the Midwest responded and said, it snowed today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, ooh.
We're complaining about it being 91.
You know, I wasn't complaining.
I was
more just like, it's 91 already?
I know.
What the fuck? Like, it just boggled my mind.
It was 60 last week.
I know.
So good.
But it's not going to stay 91.
Yeah. But there is, you know what? I do love like the evolving of spring. Like the flowers are starting to bloom and the air smells really good mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, I walked past some honeysuckle today mm-hmm. and just inhaled it.
So I hope wherever you are listening that you're having some signs of spring, or if you're in another hemisphere, some signs of fall.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Our Australian listeners are going the other direction.
Yeah,
right?
They sure are. They're so far ahead of us.
In every way.
In every way. So how you doing?
Dori, I'm good. I had a positive meeting with a psychiatrist.
Oh.
And that's my life update.
Were you surprised that it went well?
I've never had a positive meeting with a psychiatrist.
Oh, wow. So you never had a positive meeting with a psychiatrist?
No, it's always just felt very brief, like they haven't really gotten to know me, and then mm-hmm. they just kind of hand me prescriptions, and sometimes have felt unsure about even what they've just handed me and been too scared to actually fill them.
Mm.
I'm a very cautious pill popper.
Mm-hmm.
One story I often tell is that my mother, when she was dying, would cut her pain pills because she didn't want to get addicted to them. But like she was dying. You know what I mean? I kind of was like,
yeah,
it's okay. You can now's the time to get addicted. But she was very cautious.
That's so New England.
So New England.
You know, my parents didn't even keep like Advil in the house. Like we had nothing.
Yeah. Because you're just supposed to suck it up.
Yeah. It was like we had Band-Aids.
Right. You had a cloth bandage. But God forbid
but there were no painkillers and certainly no cold medicine. Oh my God, no.
We were allowed to have some of that.
I don't think I took cold medicine until I was like in college.
We didn't really have cold medicine either,
no.
Like Sudafed or Dayquil.
No.
No. Yeah, my mom was very cautious with medicine.
Mm.
So that's how I am. So like once a psychiatrist gave me a Klonopin prescription, and I was too scared to fill it because I thought I would take it and I would be like high all day. Now I'm kind of like, I wish I had that Klonopin.
Yeah.
But anyway, this psychiatrist was really thoughtful and asked me a lot of questions. And I felt like I could have kind of a back and forth conversation with her as opposed to just kind of someone telling me what to do. And I could ask questions and it was very comfortable.
I love that.
And so I feel good about that.
That's great.
It was positive.
I'm very happy for you.
It was a good step in my mental health, which has been kind of frazzly lately.
Yeah, which we're going to be talking about more later in this episode.
That's the topic of today.
Yeah.
But before we do, tell us about your Broadway dance class. Because I have to be honest with you, I've actually like in my brain closed my eyes and imagined you dancing to Broadway music, and it's hard to picture.
So, Kate,
I got to go to this class and watch you.
I like to dance.
Me too. I think this is, I do too.
But like, I'm past the age where I'm going to go clubbing. Not that I ever really went clubbing. And I haven't like taken a dance, like a regular dance class since I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. But I did take dance for a long time as a child.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I took ballet and jazz for like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And then at camp, we always did Israeli dancing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
Oh, cool.
It's like folk dancing.
Right, okay.
Basically, but to like nationalistic songs in Hebrew.
That sounds fun.
It's really fun. And you learn some dancing. And I'd been talking with some friends recently about how we wanted to try a dance class here in LA. And I'd been kind of looking around and I saw there's a somewhat new studio in Beverly Hills in the former location of Richard Simmons's studio.
Very sad.
Very sad, but, you know, a vaunted legacy.
Yes. And now there's been a rebirth.
Indeed. And it is owned by Kim Herjavec,
who is married to
Robert Herjavec,
who is a Shark Tank.
He is a shark.
He's a shark on the tank.
He's a shark on the tank. He's the
tan one who I'm attracted to.
Oh, interesting.
He's handsome.
He's small.
I don't mind.
And she was on Dancing with the Stars.
And they fell in love.
And they fell in love. And she opened this dance studio called The Bod.
Oh, no. I mean, I forgive that.
Right. So I was looking at their schedule and they have they did Broadway dance class. Now, I'm not a Broadway person. Like, I've seen musicals.
Right. But I know what you mean. You're not a super fan.
I'm not a super fan.
You haven't seen Hamilton 27 times.
No, I've seen it once.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what the songs in like Carousel are. You know what I mean?
Like, right, you're not like a Sondheim.
No, buff. Like, okay. the canon I am pretty much unfamiliar with. The musical theater canon,
but
I mean.
Could you sing all of Rent?
No, I could sing 900 minutes. I could sing that for like, but not,
but you didn't go
but not know all the world
a Rent
words.
Phase.
I saw Rent.
Okay,
I had Broadway.
A legit phase where I was like,
no, kind of I did
crazy.
Not have a Rent phase. I've never seen Phantom of the Opera.
What are you dancing to in Broadway?
Okay,
dance class?
Great question. So, but I was like, you know what? This seems like it will have a good vibe. Have a good energy. So I show up for the first time last week and it was taught by a really great teacher. The vibe was, dare I say, amazing.
I also just, can I reveal, you were texting me before it started and like some people were coming in flashy outfits.
Oh yes. There was a woman who came in a red sequin dress and like knee-high boots. And she was like, hello, I'm here.
She like actually said that?
I mean, like kind of. And everyone was like, oh, like everyone was like thrilled
What's
to see
the
her.
What's the age range?
Well, this is also amazing. It's like people in college, I think, up to women in their 70s.
I might have to come to this, if you don't mind.
There's some men. Awesome. They're like, it is age-wise, it is the most diverse crowd of, most diverse workout class I've been to in Los Angeles. And some of these people, you can tell, were like actual dancers at one point. Yeah. You know, he played a song from Newsies.
Oh, you loved it.
Loved it.
And are you doing like jazzy Broadway dance moves?
It's like Broadway dance moves. So there's like a whole warm up with like some Broadway dance moves. I mean, the first class, I was a little behind, I think. But I was getting it. I wasn't like totally out of it. And then there was some West Side Story.
That's what I've been asking. Like, when you're a jet. Oh, that one. Did you do
there
that?
Was, no, I think it was a different song. But like, couldn't tell you what the song
That's
was.
Okay.
Anything Goes.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
You're going to become a Broadway fan.
So I went to this class and I was like, this is it. This is my new thing. And then I went again on Thursday night.
That's awesome.
And I loved it. And then I bought a 10 pack of classes.
Oh boy, you're on board.
Kate, this is my thing now.
I love it so much.
I do Broadway dance.
I love dance, and I never danced as a kid, and so I've only kind of gotten to it as an adult, and it's such an, it feels so good to move your body.
It feels so good, and you're like in it together,
yeah.
But not in a way that feels weird, and the teacher is so encouraging. He's a good teacher.
It sounds like it's a supportive kind of safe space.
It's a really supportive safe space. You should totally come with me sometime.
I will be. It is embarrassing to watch me move my body.
No.
I mean, I say that with love for myself.
Yes.
I don't have rhythm.
It's okay.
But I would like to get it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I still have time.
You totally have
and
time.
And did you feel, are there people in the class who have no idea? You know how there's like always somebody walking in the wrong direction in a dance class? Maybe that's often me.
You know, I feel like I was just so focused on like following the steps that I wasn't really paying attention to like the people around me.
And did you then go home and make like a playlist of the music? Like, do you now enjoy some Broadway music?
Yeah. And then I was like, I don't know what else to put on this. So there's only like 5 songs on it.
I saw you like Instagrammed a photo of Newsies.
Of Newsies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he played that song from Newsies.
Well, you know, my husband is a big musical theater.
Oh, I know.
Fan and creator.
Yes.
So he could make you a playlist.
I would love a playlist.
Yeah, he could hook you up. And so could our
so
friend
could Danielle.
Yep. Danielle could really.
Yeah.
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 Maybe we need to have a musical theater episode of this class.
You
could just dance in the corner the whole time.
Oh, that would be delightful.
I think that's so great, Dory. I also feel like it's as your friend, I'm just going to observe, it's different than what you normally. Like, it's a different way for you to express yourself and get out energetically. And that must feel really good.
It feels great. So we'll see how this goes. I mean, again, I've only been to 2 classes, but I feel really good about it. And I'm so annoyed with ClassPass right now.
I've never done ClassPass.
They are like kings of the bait and switch.
Ugh.
They like started really cheap and then they just keep increasing the price and in a way that just feels yucky. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy classes from the bod.
Yeah, go to the bod.
Yeah. So, anyone who wants to come to the bod with me.
You know what? And hey, if anyone has like good show tunes for Dory.
Yes.
Because I've gotten such amazing music recommendations from listeners of this podcast.
Yeah. Hit me with the show tunes. I love a ballad, but I also love something up-tempo.
Is it? Yeah, I was going to say, are you dancing to the slow songs?
Well, the cool down is to the slow, slow song. Yeah. Yeah.
I love Sunday in the Park with George.
Couldn't tell you what
company.
That sounds like.
No. Dory, can I just give a one music recommendation?
Yes.
The new Kacey Musgraves album, Golden Hour.
I do like Kacey Musgraves, but I haven't listened to her new album yet.
It's just real chill country and I'm into it.
Great.
Just want to throw that out there. Listen,
yes.
Call us up and give Dory music recommendations.
At 781-591-0390.
Yes, please.
You can also email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And our website is forever35podcast.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter there.
Yeah, we'll have another one coming out in May.
And then we are also doing a listener survey. And we would love it if you guys could fill that out. I don't know if people are aware, but we are an independent podcast.
We are.
And we're not on a network. We sell our own ads. We're doing it all ourselves. We're women just doing it for ourselves. So it would help us a ton if you could fill out this survey. It's at forever35podcast.com/survey.
Yeah, it helps us learn more about you and get feedback on the podcast.
Yes. So it would be great. So please do that. We would love you for it. And if you like the show, please also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, it's great if it's 5 stars.
I mean, give us 10. Mean,
but yeah, any review would be great. And yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at Forever35Podcast and on Twitter at Forever35Pod. And I think on that note, we're going to take a little break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones, but I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough, enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to
not sacrifice, lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups, still without the underwire, to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
So I recently spoke on the podcast about my challenges with my mental health and my anxiety.
Yeah.
And we received so many messages.
So many.
Which I just want to say thank you for making a gal feel less alone.
Oh, I mean, that's what podcasting is all about.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
And so we thought we would talk a little bit about our own struggles with mental health, what we've done, what we've experienced. And the truth is, Dory and I don't have any. See you guys next week. as we laugh.
Kate, you.
I know. Hee-hee. So I don't know about you, but I, in hindsight, for me, anxiety and obsessive compulsive behavior are the things that I deal with and have been, I now am able to see since I was a kid. And it wasn't until I was a bit older that I actually like sought help. My mom kind of was like, let's figure this out. But it still it didn't get solved. I mean, I don't know if you ever solve it. That's the wrong word. But it's taken a very long time and is a work in progress. I don't feel like I have anything figured out. But I definitely have some practices. But that's my kind of history with my mental stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the anxiety for me, as I think, and the compulsive or the obsessive behavior and thoughts go hand in hand. And it feels, I think I mentioned this, like chronic, like, so I'll have a flare up almost. Like some days I have it, or some weeks and months I have it really under control. And then certain circumstances trigger things, or something's, I'm stressed, or there's something going on and it is really bad. So it comes and goes, and I it can kind of be misleading for me where I think I'm like, oh, I've solved it. And then I'm like, oh no, it was just sleeping. And
now
the beast hath risen. Risen.
Also risen.
The beast hath risen. So yeah, so that's me.
So I struggled with depression as an adolescent, and I would say through most of college, and also developed like what I think was now in retrospect, I think like pretty bad body dysmorphia. And I think my skin picking is also related to that.
Yes.
Kind of obsessing about one body part or one aspect of my appearance and like really fixating on it and just kind of, you know, body dysmorphia just means that you have a completely, your perception of yourself is just completely out of line with reality. And I think it's definitely something that is like flared up at different times. And it's like, but I think it's like it's a lifelong struggle, I think. And also, as I've talked about on the podcast before, I've had night terrors for like 15 years. And they don't really know what causes those, but like, I think it's probably related to like anxiety and stuff.
Yeah.
I think like I'm in a better place than I have been in a long time. I feel lucky that I'm in a position where I am able to seek help, you know, and because not everyone can afford it. Not everyone has access to it. You know, especially in this country, like it's not, great.
No. Yeah.
We don't have great mental health services.
And still, I think mental health, in addition to that, there's like still serious, a taboo vibe about mental health in America, culturally.
I think the other thing that is important for people who, like, for people who have never been to therapy or maybe never been on antidepressants, sometimes the first therapist doesn't work for you.
Dory, can I jump in here?
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I knew therapists were trained differently, but I don't think I ever gave much thought to the fact that the way a different therapist, what they practice, how it could affect how they connect with me and me with them.
Right.
And I think, did I tell you this off the air already? Sorry, I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but when I saw the psychiatrist, I was telling her about my old therapist who was in the same building and how we had had kind of not a falling out, but it had ended in a way that I really didn't like. And when I told her the circumstances, she was like, oh, that makes sense. That therapist is a psychoanalyst and you should be seeing a cognitive behavioral therapist because you deal with anxiety. Now, this was her recommendation. I'm not saying that if you, you know, you shouldn't see a psychoanalyst if you have therapy, but she was just kind of saying like that would, that makes sense. It might not, you might not have worked well together. And that I never dawned on me.
Right.
And so I think like you have to find a therapist, like you have to find a romantic partner. You have to date around and you have to break up with the ones that don't work. I also once had a therapist fall asleep on me in a session.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad. And then I still, because I am so afraid of confrontation, I still kept going to them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She fell asleep.
That's crazy.
And then she like startled and was like, oh, I think I just, I'm sorry, I just fell asleep there for a minute. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you sometimes, and I think, especially if you're depressed or, you know, or if it's taking you a long time to seek help and then your first experience is not a great one, it's really easy to just give up.
Totally.
And to you, I would say, don't give up. And a lot of people ask us how to find a therapist. I think referrals are great, but also I know a lot of people who have found really good therapists just by going to Psychology Today's website.
Oh,
because you can like search for therapists who specialize in whatever you're dealing with. So whether it's anxiety or let's say like codependency or depression or bipolar disorder, whatever, like you can find someone who specializes in that and just kind of read about them. And they have like a little bio on there. And I think most therapists will do a phone call with you before you actually go to them to, you know, and spend money. And there's actually, I think a lot you can tell from a phone call and spend 15 minutes on the phone with them. And if you hang up the phone and you're like, then don't go to them. Like, doesn't matter. They won't take it personally.
No, they won't. And also, if you have insurance, finding a therapist who's on your insurance, is very helpful financially. A lot of insurance will cover out of network, but it's not as great. But there's also organizations that can provide therapy on a sliding scale.
Yeah.
Which is what I did for all of my, that's how I found an amazing therapist in New York City. So there, I do think it can be accessible. It's just as it requires some research to find an affordable solution sometimes.
I think there's also, I have not personally looked into this, but I think there are, if you live in, like a university town that has a graduate program in therapy or social work, there will often be, graduate students who have to see patients as part of their education. So that could be also be something to look into. And it's either free or very low cost to see those people.
So what are some, and this might not apply to you actually, I don't, because you're dealing with stuff that's different than what I'm dealing with. I've made some, a lot of lifestyle changes to help manage my anxiety. So a self-care routine that does contribute to making it better.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done something similar?
Well, I just find that it helps me to be active physically. But I'm not as focused on working out as I used to be. I'm actually like in the last, I think especially since starting IVF, like a big part of my self-care, both mental and physical health, has just been like being kind to my body. And so that means like not getting upset or mad at myself for missing a day or two of workouts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, totally.
And I've also, in the last couple of months, I've really gotten into this intuitive eating stuff.
Oh, you got to teach me about intuitive eating.
And it feels really good. And I'm not as obsessive about food and focused on what I'm eating, and I don't weigh myself anymore. And that's like, for someone who has historically been like had disordered eating issues, mm-hmm. that kind of goes along with all of the body dysmorphia and et cetera, like that's big for me.
Yeah, that's really freeing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I feel good about that.
Can you tell us about your Wellbutrin and therapy?
Yes. So I've been on Wellbutrin for a while, like over a decade.
Oh, that's awesome. So what you're saying is it's worked for you.
It has worked for me. This whole idea that, you know, we should be resilient and, you know, not be on meds and just be tough and figure it out. Like, I'm over that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, figuring it out is sometimes realizing that medication will help you.
Yes.
I mean, I'm certainly have come back to that again and again.
Yes.
Where I was on Lexapro a couple years ago and I went off and I just went back on a new SSRI. Because there's this realization that like, I can't do this on my own, because mm-hmm. I listed here, like all the life changes I've made, which, am I perfect at sticking to them? No, but I've quit coffee for the most part. I still sneak it now and then, but like I changed, caffeine was really increasing my anxiety. Mm. That was a big problem for me in college when I was drinking like soda at every meal. And I went to the school doctor and the first thing this man said was like, do you have consumed caffeine? He's like, that will make your anxiety worse. And it's true for me, especially, it just triggers my anxiety. I exercise, I have a better diet.
Yeah.
I practice meditation. I practice yoga. I've been in therapy, and I've also, you know, I have had prescriptions for Ativan for a lot of my anxiety and, which I am ceasing at the moment. But I think medicine for some people, that's part of your regimen.
Yeah.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah. So that's very empowering for me.
Yeah.
To try. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
You know, we'd love to hear from you guys. What's working for you? What do you struggle with? Do you have advice for people who are, you know, starting to figure this out?
And yeah.
What are the questions that you have? Like, I feel like this is a topic that we will come back to a lot. I mean, I feel like we've already come back to it, and it's just an ongoing thing that like I want to talk about, and I think people should be open about talking about, and I want to normalize the conversation around mental health.
Yes, because it's something we suffer through very quietly, I think. And don't talk about it. I think, because as I mentioned last time, sometimes it can feel like what you're describing makes no sense to a friend. You know, it's hard to put into words a lot of time the pain that we're in.
Yep.
Or the challenges that we're feeling.
Or I think it's also easy to dismiss it and say like, well, my life is pretty good. I should be grateful for what I have, which that can be true.
Yeah.
You can be grateful for what you have and still also be depressed.
Yeah, it's very true.
So.
So anyway.
So.
Mental health is a big part of self-care. Like,
yes.
Like making sure your mental health is taken care of.
It's huge.
I just also want to say, Maria Bamford is one of my favorite comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about her mental health in such an accessible and funny way. It is the best. I would 100% recommend listening to Maria Bamford.
Great. I love that.
Watch any of her stand-up specials or her show.
And we're going to take another break
Let's
now.
Let's do it.
And now here's our guest, Amy Spaulding. Our guest today is Amy Spaulding, who I have to just say, you look so effing cool. Your lips are red. Your glasses are gold.
Your hair is pink.
Your necklace is yellow. It's a whole color story. Your dress is cats. Amy, I'm just going to read a quick bio that I kind of ripped off of your website.
That's what it's there for.
Good. Well, thank you for doing the work. Yeah, honestly, you know what?
These days?
2018. Amy Spaulding grew up in St. Louis, but now lives in the better weather of Los Angeles. She has a BA in Advertising and Marketing Communications from Webster University and an MA in Media Studies from the New School. Amy also studied improv at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. By day, she manages the digital media team for an indie film advertising agency. And by later day and night, Amy writes and performs and pets as many cats as she can. Now, Amy is the author of 6 young adult novels with one coming out. It's already out.
It's out.
When this,
well, yeah, the 5th one's out, and then the 6th one will come out in 2020.
So you've written 6 books.
A lot.
That's a lot of books. And your most recent book that just came out that I have in front of me is The Summer of Jordy Perez and the Best Burger in Los Angeles, which New York Times bestselling author Julie Murphy called the queer fat girl rom-com of my dreams, which is a wonderful endorsement.
Oh my God. It was like a dream come true.
And Jordy Perez, which I am in the middle of reading and I'm very swoony about, has been featured on a ton of lists. I'm going to read you a few. Book Riot's Most Anticipated LGBTQ Books of 2018, Hypebull's Most Anticipated Queer YA Books of 2018, and Barnes & Noble's BN Teen Blog's Most Highly Anticipated LGBTQAYA of 2018.
That's a lot of lists.
That's a lot of lists. That's so awesome, though.
Thank you. That's really exciting.
It's got to feel kind of cool.
It's real. Yeah, I'm not used to it. I feel like you're like all creative life is just being like, oh God, I should be doing more.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody knows. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What should I do more of or less of? And this is like, oh, things are just kind of going okay. This is weird.
What is the, I have not had a chance to read the book. What can you tell us a little bit about kind of what the story is and who Jordy is? And
yeah, so my book is called, we're gonna go through it again, everyone.
It's a good
Summer
title.
Of Jordy Perez and the Best Burger in Los Angeles, and it's a romantic comedy about a 17-year-old girl named Abby who's super into fashion. She runs a plus size blog. She dreams of getting into the industry, you know, as soon as she's done with high school and college, and she gets a prized internship at her favorite local boutique. Normally the internship just like automatically rolls into a part-time job in the fall. But this year, there's 2 interns, and only one of them is going to get the part-time job in the fall. And the other intern is a girl who goes to her school that she's never really known, named Jordy Perez, who is undeniably very cute. So,
I mean, I'm like,
supposed competition, but really, let's be real.
Yeah. It's just so swoony. It just gives
it
me like
great.
pitter-patter heart feelings. And I also really love that Abby's mom is this like obnoxious food influencer, which is like the specifics of it are so funny. Like she's a healthy food blogger essentially. And it will just like, I just get little side LOLs anytime Abby talks about her mom and her like lettuce cup tacos.
It's so funny because like so many of those things I genuinely do like, but they're also stupid and ridiculous. Or like they don't really substitute for that thing. It's much more of like, I need to eat healthy tonight. Like, what should I do?
And then you go on a healthy food blog.
Yeah, exactly. Like Eat Healthy with Nora.
And someone is recommending cauliflower rice, which doesn't taste the same.
No.
And here's the thing. I love cauliflower, but it is not rice.
No, it's not.
It's not bread for a grilled cheese.
No, it's not a pizza crust.
It's not a pizza crust. I know.
One thing we were talking about when you were coming in is the fact that you have a day job and you have an after day and night job.
Yeah.
And so you're balancing a 9-to-5 and then a creative job, a creative career, which has no set hours. So how do you set yourself up for that so that it is success, so that you can succeed, like that you actually accomplish what you're setting out to do and you're able to be present in your work day job and present in your writing life? And then like, what do you implement in terms of self-care to kind of
make sure you're able to handle two workloads?
Well, it's hard because sometimes it's really easy because for a lot, as you know, writing is one of those things that, you know, you get a book deal and it's for 2 years away and you wait 6 months for notes and you're kind of like, I'm good. I get to count myself as a writer, but I don't have to do anything right now. And so then if my day job is very busy, it kind of doesn't matter because as long as I like show up on social media and like respond to things and be nice or grateful if people are, you know, nice enough to tweet nice things at me, et cetera, it's fine. I can juggle that. It's not that much, but you can't always control when things come in. And when I started really trying to become a writer for Sirius, I was an assistant. It was a mindless job. You don't have that many real responsibilities. It was much easier. And of course, you don't make much money as an assistant. So I kept like, okay, well, I need to like get further in my day job to make more money because, you know, I'm not making money from writing yet. And so I found myself by the time I got published, I was like the senior manager of a department. And I'm like, oh, this is not really what I... When I imagined doing this, I was going to do like assistant stuff and then have a writing career and it's going to work out.
And then it has.
And then it has. But it definitely, it gets harder for sure because I can't always put something down. And so I think it's just trying to be present for whatever thing is in front of me. I work in film marketing. So we just got through Academy season. And so like, there were just plenty of days of that where I'm like, I can't think about my book right now, even though it's like coming out in 3 months.
Yeah.
I need to win some Academy Awards.
And did you?
I did. I mean, not personally.
Right. Sure. But the films that you
worked
on.
The films I worked on, there were Academy Awards. So
and how do the people at your job and your boss feel about you? Like, is there ever that feeling of like, oh, she's going to focus too much on her writing career and not on work at her job?
I have to say previous employers, yes. And I didn't even have a book deal. They're just like, you have an agent. You're going to try to leave. One of my jobs, they were like, oh, you're trying to edit a book at lunch. You don't care about this job. I'm like, what? It's my lunch. And also, I feel like people have so many other interests that no one is like concerned
policing.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, this guy plays sports every weekend. Is he going to try to leave and like get on a baseball team? No one thinks that. And it's really weird with like writing or acting or performing. People get so like, oh, is this what you want to do? Why are you here? But my current job is so supportive and like company wide, it's supportive. So I don't have to sneak around. I don't have to treat it like it's some weird secret. I don't have to like hide the fact that there are days where I'm just like, we're slow here. I need to focus a little more on book stuff right now. So it's been really, I feel like that is one of the secrets you kind of can't control is that it helps if everyone there cares about you and supports you and you don't have to hide it. But also you don't necessarily, you can't like when you're interviewing be, I also want to be a writer. Are you guys going to be cool if I sometimes don't care about this as much?
Yeah, and they're fine.
Yeah, but I just feel very fortunate. I mean, it's why I've been at my current job for 6 years and it's a lot of why.
And how do you, in terms of, do you have any like care routines that you implement in order to keep your sanity when things are very busy in both parts of your life?
Yeah, I try to, the thing I've really tried to do is like give myself a break whenever I can. I noticed it was not this book, but my last book, The New Guy, I had the book due and work was really, really busy and busy in a way where it was taking my brain space too. So even when I got home at night, I was like, I have nothing left to give. And I kept thinking like, I'm never going to make this deadline. And I was putting guilt on myself every day and just feeling like, oh, I'm not good at this anymore. How can I keep going? And then like my day job let up and it was like everything came back. I remember I sat down at a coffee shop on a Saturday and just like pounded out, you know, like thousands and thousands of words. I was like, oh, it's all there. Mm. And I stressed over this and made myself feel terrible for nothing because it all worked out and I still made my deadline. So my thing is really to try again, like try to stay focused on what's in front of me. And as long as like I'm not at the end of a deadline yet to like beating myself up is not helping. So mm-hmm. I try to sort of be like kind to myself and like look at the reality. And then I like on the flip side, sometimes I have to be like it's so easy to be like, you know, I had a busy day. I should be really kind to myself and just watch Grey's Anatomy again and have some snacks and then go to bed early. That's a great night for me. So I think I also have to like be kind enough to be like, hey, no, you have to get something done. This is actually due. It doesn't matter. So it's sort of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always looking for the like the happy medium between, you know, like self-care and wallowing. Like, I don't want to, or just like being lazy. So
yeah, I was just, I'm in a deep rewatching of Sex and the City.
Oh, that sucks me in. So if I can't even like watch 5 minutes of the pilot, or it's that, then I'm on every one.
Yeah, I just finished season one in like a week. Their episodes are 20 minutes, so you just kind of crank them out.
Oh, and they're so good.
They're so good. And I've never watched Grey's, which I feel like is a bad move. I should watch it. It's 15 years worth of show though, right?
And I mean, you can quit at so many different points where there's so many like parts where it starts to go worse. And so you could be like, this is it for me and stop. Or like me, you can be like, no, I'm in it till the end. I don't care who joins that I don't care about. Like, there's so many characters that I'm like, I have no interest in you at all. I'm like repelled by you being on screen, but I'm not giving up on the show. I'm just in it till Shonda says goodbye.
I feel like Shonda's never going to say goodbye.
I know.
Why would she?
I don't know. I also feel like Grey's, if someone hasn't written a Grey's Anatomy a self-care essay, it must exist, right?
I feel
like
that
people, so many people rely on that show specifically as kind of like a release.
Well, the funny thing is too, like I did, like at one point I quit because there was such a stupid plot line that I was like, I can't. And then when it showed up on Netflix, like a while back, I was like, oh, that's still on. I wonder what would happen if I watched it now. And what happened was I like did not leave my couch. I was just like, give me the next one. So like rewatching it, I was like, oh, there's a lot of good things about it actually that I'd sort of like dismissed just because it's like so like female point of view. It's so diverse. It's so like ambition is a good trait. It doesn't have to be separate from like love or sex or motherhood or anything, which I'm like, oh, why is this revolutionary still? This is so sad.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm on board.
I'm basically always just like, everyone watch Grey's because on one hand it's great and on the other it's real stupid, and we need to talk about both sides of that all the time.
Love that. I am wondering what advice would you give someone who is a creative person but can't support themselves with their creative endeavors, wants a day job, doesn't know where to start? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, first of all, like, don't think you are some kind of failure for needing a day job. I feel like that's what I hear so often, are people like, oh, I have to do this because, you know, if I was a better writer, there's so many good writers who cannot support themselves.
Yeah.
And also it like, when you look at where some people live who support themselves writing and where like I live, it's like Los Angeles is really expensive and I'm single. I'm paying all my own bills. Like I can't just... I would need so much money to live comfortably in Los Angeles and to like buy all the lipsticks I want to, et cetera.
Ooh,
so
we'll
like,
get to that.
We'll get to it. All right. So first of all, I'm like, just take the pressure off yourself. If you need to make money in another way, there's nothing wrong with it. I was on a panel at Festival of Books the other year and someone's like, when did you guys quit your jobs and become real writers? And I was like, oh, this is my fourth book. Do you think I'm a real writer? And everyone in the audience was like, yeah. I'm like, I still have a day job and I probably never can quit it because I have a lot of student loan debt. And everyone was like, oh, I'm like, that shouldn't be a revelation. But I'm happy for people to realize that it's more common.
Yes.
Or a lot of the people who are full-time writers, it's because they might live somewhere much more reasonable, or, you know, they might be married to someone who has the income to let them do it. And so there's nothing wrong with any of those paths. So first of all, take the pressure off yourself. And I would say for me, it's good to have a day job that's not strictly creative. Like there are creative aspects to it, but it's a lot of math. It's a lot of just negotiation, a lot of Excel spreadsheets. And so I feel like I get to save that little part of myself. And so when I get home and it's time to write, I still have like creative juice to burn and not just... Well, I thought of all these strategies for my office and now I can't think of characters.
Right.
So I like the balance.
Can I ask a question about the book?
Yeah.
Because I think body positivity has come up a lot on our podcast.
Yeah.
Especially as it's something that I feel like I'm personally trying to figure out how to be more accepting of myself and like not encourage negative speak about myself and everything. And one thing I love about Abby, the main character in this book, is that she feels very one. She is, there's kind of a nice body positive message, but it's not self-serious. It's very matter of fact. Was that your intention? Did you go in and work that in? I'm curious about creating the character and her point of view on herself and also dealing with other people in the world who are not coming from the same place as her.
Yeah, I knew I really wanted to write about a fat character and have like have her be the lead and have it not be like an issue. I definitely didn't want her to lose weight or in some way be like, well, I have to change myself to be lovable. Because A, it's just, it's not realistic. I have so many friends who are fat who are like super accomplished or, you know, married to really attractive people and like have kids and like careers. And like when I look at myself, I'm like, I have two successful careers. And yet, like, if you watched like a romantic comedy, you'd be like, well, that fat woman's getting nowhere until she like loses weight. Yeah. And then they'll take her seriously at the office. It's like not how my life has been. So I really wanted to write a book that I felt was like actually accurate in that if you have confidence and you're good at what you do, like people will still like you and support you. And it's not like an in spite of. But at the end of the day, it's still really weird because like most of my friends are thin. And so like I still remember like I was talking to a friend about dating in LA and I'm like, it's just weird. Like when you're fat, you just like worry about what people are thinking. And she's like, Amy, I'm like a size 8. And in LA, that's basically the same thing.
No.
So big compared to like an actress. And I'm like, it's just not the same thing. And I get what, but the thing was, I get what you're saying because she's like dealing with the same things I am, but it's to such a smaller degree.
Yeah.
So I also kind of wanted to write about how it feels when people are like, no, but I love you and I get you and you're great. I'm like, right, but the world doesn't think that. And I kind of need you to like back me on that.
Yeah.
So it's always this weird divide of like people within my own world, honestly, really great for the most part. But then it's the whole like, there's certain ways I don't want to put myself out there. There's certain things that I'm like, you know, a girl I knew would say things like, ugh, if I even gain 5 pounds, I'll be so ugly, I shouldn't go in public. And she was like a size 2. And I was like, oh, cool. What do you think about me? She's like, oh, well, it's different than you. And I'm like, right. But when you say that, that's all I hear is, oh, I'm much larger than you. And I should maybe never be in public then. So it's the whole people can be really nice to you and then really rude in general about size or about themselves. And it makes you think like, oh, what are you thinking about me? Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to get into all of that, but I hate anything that's like a very special episode
right.
or like, you know, some kind of like homework lesson on like, why should fat people be taken seriously? Like, I felt like I gave Abby some of my like, as a 40-year-old, what I've learned, like, let's just have her know it because I didn't want to write a girl who hated herself or hated her mm-hmm. body. But I also didn't want to shy away from it does come up in weird ways.
Yeah. You handle it so well. It feels so, I don't know what the right word is. Not honest sounds really cheesy, but it I love the way that she handles it and deals with it throughout the book.
Thank you. Yeah, I worked really hard to try to make it, like strike that balance because it's still a romantic comedy too. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well you can deal with some serious things, but you also don't want it to turn into like, again, a really dramatic scene or dark or strange. So I don't know. I loved Julie Murphy's Dumplin'. I don't know if you've read that mm-hmm. book. Ugh, I love it. But that I read after I maybe like written half of my book and I was so inspired by it. Yeah. And I was like, okay, she went there, really turned these things inside out. There's no reason I can't keep doing this too. So
yes, I love it.
So great.
I have a lot of questions. I'm a little excited. Is fat, so you're wearing a really cool dress with cats all over it.
Thank
Your
you.
Author picture, I think, is also a cool
a different
dress
cat dress.
Cats. And the character in this book is like a fashion obsessed and knowledgeable about fashion, like gets it, is passionate about it. This is very stylish. Is fashion a form of self-care? Can it be? Like if for you as someone who your hair, like for me, I feel like a kind of a wallflower. Like for me, fashion makes me feel comfortable hiding. But is it, and that's self-care for me? I don't know if that makes any sense. Gotta go to the therapist. But can, for you, and is your love of fashion part of self-care for you?
I absolutely think it is. For a long time, plus size clothes were so hard to find that were cute. It was like Lane Bryant, and that was kind of it. And I was like, you know, 20, 21, was not wanting to shop at Lane Bryant, but it was like my option. And then suddenly there were like better stores and cuter stores and the internet. And I could dress like how I actually wanted to. And I think I sort of had, you worry that you shouldn't take up too much space or be really loud. And I don't know, at a certain point I was like, well, no, but I just want to like look the way I want to look. And so, yeah, it is absolutely self-care for me. And I also, I definitely see it as sort of like a fuck you to beauty standards too, like traditional beauty standards. The whole idea of like, you know, the right way to dress if you're, if you wear plus sizes is like everything should be minimizing and dark. And, you know, like they literally make those dresses that are like black at the edges. So you like can't tell where your body is. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. It's like a color block where like the sides are like a darker color. So you like disappear.
Right. Or it's like the stripes will be slimming. Or,
and there's something about like, oh no, I don't really care. I just like this dress. I'm the size I am. It's fine. I don't know. I feel that, I feel really powerful about that. Also because, I mean, I don't think like cats on dresses are ever going to be like on trend in a certain way.
What if though?
So I, oh my God. I, well, part of, I just had a visceral reaction of like, but oh no, that's my thing. What if it was popular? That's, it's like my 1990s teenager coming out still of like, I'm sorry if it's not on the alternative station. I don't listen to it. Like, ridiculous. But yeah, there's something fun about being like, this is not for anyone else. This is just for me. And also like people, I showed up at this party at West Hollywood last year, forgetting that like I hardly ever go like west of Fairfax. And everyone was like wearing like a black bodycon dress and looked amazing. And I was like, oh, I was wearing like a pale blue dress that had kittens on it. I'm like, what? Why did I do this? Like, I'm so bad at like knowing how to be like, like the, I always like, I worry. I'm like, oh, I'm the wrong kind of woman. I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to, like, I don't even own a dress like that. I wouldn't know where it came from. And like all these women came up and were just like, oh my God, I love your dress. Where'd you get it? And like wanted to talk to me about it. And it was a really good lesson to be like, you don't have to try to do this other thing you don't want to do. And you also know you're not good at, like, just do the thing you want to do. And people like it and people respond.
Yeah.
So it's a good lesson.
That's really powerful.
That is a good lesson. Amy, you are a lipstick connoisseur.
I love lipstick, but it just started a few years ago, actually. Like, it's not a long ranging thing. It's just like when I made the change, I made it like so hard and then I like never veered off course. And what happened was my assistant at the time came in wearing this like amazing shade of red lipstick. And I was like, oh my God, I love that lipstick. I love everything about it. It looks so great. You should wear it every day. How amazing. And I like couldn't stop talking about it. So she, it was like a week before Christmas and she bought it for me for Christmas.
That's a nice person.
Which was super sweet. And I put it on and I was like, holy shit, I love how my face looks now. It was like the best thing ever. It's Sephora's cream lip stain in Always Red.
01. Yes, an icon.
Too? It is.
Yes. And I have
believe
it.
Thanks to me, but she may, I don't know if that's true. I'm always like, everyone probably heard about it from me, but like, I don't know.
That Mary, may not be Mary true. H.K. Choi also recommended it in her episode. It's a living
a
legend because it's also stays on for forever.
It stays on for forever. It has avocado oil in it. So it's really like moisturizing. It doesn't do that. A lot of lip stains in the past would get like, just like rubbing like something gross on your face and hoping it stayed and they'd like dry out. So not like that. It feels so nice. And I think it's one of those reds that looks good on everyone too. Mm-hmm. So I recommend it. I'm not wearing it today. I'm wearing lipstick that I was at the Hillary Clinton book signing and it took so long. I was there for like 7 hours. It was a day. But we like finally were getting really close to Hillary. And so we're like on the staircase at Roman's and Huma Abedin came down the stairs and she was like, she's so beautiful. She always has the best lipsticks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I wish I could talk to her about lipstick. And then the guys in front of her were like, can we get selfies? And took selfies with her. I was like, if they got selfies, I could totally ask her about lipstick. And so I was like, I'm sorry, can I ask you a question? And I'm sure she was like, oh, it's going to be about Anthony Weiner. But it wasn't. It was just me saying she has great lipsticks. And what was she wearing? And she kind of was like, ugh, I don't, like, she was clearly like, nobody asked her that, I felt like.
Was she flummoxed in a positive way or was she
in
annoyed?
A positive way. No, she was kind of like, she's like, oh, well, I have a lot of them. I switch a lot. And I was like, okay, well, you just always have the best red. So I was just wondering. And she was like, oh, you're so nice. And then she's like, well, I am wearing, you know, Burberry military red today.
Which I love how she knew exactly
what it was.
She knew.
So I was like, she's one of us. She's one of us. So obviously, immediately upon getting home, I ordered it. And I'm wearing that today.
It looks great.
It is sort of like the really fancy version of the Sephora one. I think it's a really similar color. It feels even more luxurious. Mm. It, like, when I put it on, I was like, yeah, this feels expensive. It's really good.
Do you remember how much it cost?
I think it was around like $35 or $40, which it's not like, it's not insane, but it's a bit much.
Yeah. I had an experience with a Tom Ford lipstick.
Oh.
That was very expensive.
How much was it again, Doris?
It was $58. And I didn't know how much it cost until I got to the register.
I got mine online, which at least I was like, okay, I'm preparing.
Right. You're mentally ready.
And I was saying to Kate, like, I feel like $35 is like a very expensive but normal expensive lipstick.
Yes, for sure.
And $58 is just like ridiculous. But there is something about like a lipstick that feels luxurious and comes in like a luxurious looking case.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm at the point in my life where like a very fancy, respectable person recommended it.
Amy, do you identify as a lipstick person?
I think I do now.
Because that's a thing, right? Like people who are ultra passionate about lipstick.
Yeah, I wasn't. And then it was really weird. It was getting into that lipstick, I felt like totally changed my look for the positive because I already dress like this. But then when I added the red lipstick, it just sort of felt like, oh, I'm doing a whole thing. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's very intentional.
Have you dyed your hair your whole life?
I have dyed my hair since I was like 15 or 16. Yeah. But normally just like red.
That's right, because when I met you, you had red hair.
Yeah, and then like shades of red, and then I kind of was like, it kind of got bleached, and then I was growing it out and doing kind of an ombre thing. And then I was doing the edits on this book, Abby Has Pink Hair, and I was like, oh, if only I had pink hair like Abby, then I'd be so happy. I was like, you're just like an adult, you can just get it. Like, there's no reason you can't do it. So I literally like got jealous of a character I created, and then like stole her hair. So it's been fun.
Isn't that a weird thing about being an adult where you're like, oh, I wish I could do this thing. And then you realize that
you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just and you're do
the,
it.
You're the only person stopping you from totally. Doing it.
It's funny though, because I've had a lot of women, especially women older than me, say like, oh, I wish I could have pink hair. I wish I could get away with that. I'm like, well, just do it. You can get away with it then. Just believe it.
Yeah. That's the secret to getting away with things is that you just have to believe. You just have to do it.
I think also like, because I definitely used to like fuck with my hair when I was a kid, like a teen, you know, like manic panic and like really unflattering shades, I'm sure, in retrospect. But I think like you can also get away with stuff as an adult if you like do it professionally and it looks like really polished, because people are sort of like, oh, that's intentional. I guess if even if they don't like it, I think they're like, well, that's a thing I just don't get. It must be fine.
Totally.
And also, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel like it is true when you hear older women being like, once I hit a certain age, I just stopped giving a shit. And that feels more true to me than it's ever felt in my life.
This was definitely like a post 40 decision too.
Yeah,
it was definitely like, I'm 40 now. Like, what am I waiting for? Let's do it.
Just fucking do it. I'm glad you did. It looks amazing.
Well, thank you.
It's really beautiful. So are there any, we talk a lot about products. Are there any must have products in your life that you cannot live without, that you want the world to know about?
Yes. Let me think. Yes, for sure. If you have pink hair, definitely Overtone conditioner.
Oh.
Which has like dye in it. You have to like buy the conditioner for the color hair you have. You can also like, if you have like light color hair, you could just buy the conditioner and use that to dye your hair. But basically pink hair fades every single time you wash it. Like every time.
Oh, that's a lot of upkeep.
That's so much. So like I try to skip as many washings as I can. I try to condition only, but yeah, Overtone like changed everything.
Have you ever used the Kristen S line at Target?
No,
this
I don't
is
even
something
know
that
about this.
Has come up in the Facebook group a couple times. I think she has pink hair dye and then other like hair color.
I should check that out because I love Overtone, but you can only get it from them through their website.
Oh.
So it's always like, I got to plan in advance where I'm going to run out.
Right, like a 2-week waiting period.
Yeah. And then like to get the free shipping, you have to spend like $75. So then it's like,
you should check out Kristen. Yeah. I mean, I have not used it, but it has come up several times in the group.
I will check that out.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I've been getting into the Korean skincare line, COS RX. I'm sure people have been talking about that. They're very reasonable. Their their face sunscreen, which is like their aloe soothing, whatever.
Yes.
Yes.
I think Tori has that.
Yeah, I do. I really like it.
Yeah. It's because it's 50 SPF, which I feel like you never can get for your face, which I think is weird because like, why are they like, your body needs more. Your face, which has very sensitive skin and is out every day, needs less. It's like, that makes no sense.
No.
Yeah.
Do you put sunscreen on your hands?
I don't. I probably should.
We don't either.
I don't know. I should do much more than I do.
It's hard to remember to do all the things you're supposed to do.
It's really true. And I'm not a morning person and I have a day job, which means like, I'm like, ugh, how like little can I get away with? But also I need to put on a full face of makeup because that's what I believe in. So.
Oh, wait, tell us about that. You do a full face every day?
I do. I don't know. I just think it's because I have, I'm always like, no, my whole look is smoke and mirrors, like nothing. Because people are like, you have great skin. I was like, no, I just buy a lot of products and just like pile them on until I trick people.
Well, how do you, how long does it take in the morning to do a full face of makeup? And what are your like must haves?
I start with an essence, like a COSRX essence. And then I put the sunscreen on top of that. And then I do like a matte moisturizer from Origins, which was a Nicole Cliff Twitter recommendation.
Oh, she's got good recs.
She does. And it was definitely worth it because it's sort of, I have really oily skin. So it kind of like calms down the real shininess from the sunscreen. And then I use, I do like eye primer and concealer. I'm going to switch powders though, because I just found out MAC isn't cruelty free. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going on that. We'll find out.
That's a really hard,
I think Bare Minerals is cruelty free.
That's good to know. I heard about a local brand that sounds really good too. So I'm gonna get some samples and try some stuff out and see where I land. I have so much of the MAC one left. I like bought it fairly recently, so I'm like, I paid for it. I'm gonna use it up.
Yeah, and then, we have recently come to this conclusion that if you're deciding to switch to cruelty free products or whatever, like, just use up what you have. Don't waste it.
I want to keep enough that I can like actually look at how it looks in the package to like compare to other ones when I'm shopping. But yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to like throw out like a $35 compact. I'm not wealthy.
Yeah. I mean, we can open this up to listener recommendations.
Yes, I'd absolutely love to hear that.
Yeah. Cruelty-free powder for Amy, comparable to her MAC one.
Yeah. I'm very pale and oily. So those are my problems. Well, I guess pale is not a problem. Oily is a thing I deal with.
You need something mattifying.
I need something mattifying, but also like, you know, I don't want to look like I'm wearing a full face of makeup. Right. So it also needs to be like really light and breathable.
You don't. Your skin just looks like beautiful.
That's why I laugh when people are like, you have good skin. I'm like, nope, just a lot of products. Strategically used.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got my morning routine down to like 10, 15 minutes for my face. It goes pretty quickly because I get like everything out on the counter in like an order and I put it away as I use it. Just again, because I hate getting up early. So I'd rather work faster in a weird manner than like get up 5 minutes earlier.
Oh, I love how we all have our systems.
I know. Like, I do too.
And I don't put lipstick on until I get to work usually because I end up just like somehow getting it like on the car door when I open it and like on my sleeves. Like, I don't know. I find it in the weirdest places in my car when I like get ready before.
it's just dabbled all around.
I just find like red streaks all over, like all over my house, all over the inside of my car. Like I took an Instagram at work the other day, something on my desk. And I know there's just like a red streak next to it. I'm like, great.
Lipstick is hard. It gets on your hands. Yeah. It's a little awkward.
And when you use lip stain, it's like literally the whole point of it is has staying power.
Yeah. So you're painting the town red, literally.
Literally.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you?
I'm all over social media. I'm hard to avoid. It's just so funny when people are like, oh, I tried to track you down for this. I was like, no, you didn't. You just didn't try because I'm like always on. On Twitter, I am The Ames, T-H-E-A-M-E-S. On Instagram, for some reason, I'm That Ames, which is very similar but different.
It's all right.
And then my website's theamyspalding.com. But really, you know, the book's going to be in bookstores all over, hopefully, on Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, on IndieBound.
And so, we'll link to it on our website.
And we'll link to it. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Amy. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I am still reading The Summer of Jordi Perez, and I freaking love it.
I am so excited to read it.
It's so swoony. And Amy is such a wonderful author and person. And
she's so great.
Yeah.
I love talking to her about, you know, having a day job.
Yeah.
And being an artist. And I just think like that's so powerful, everything she talked about.
I know, man. So. She works hard. That's a lot to balance.
She sure does.
Speaking of balance.
Yes.
What are our intentions here, Dory? We've got some ones to review.
Yeah. So, you know, last week I bought fresh flowers at the farmer's market and I was like, la, 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 this is my new thing. And then this week, my Sunday was just, for various reasons, just got crazy. And I was not able to purchase fresh flowers at the farmer's market.
Okay.
So, I might try to buy some tomorrow.
Now, could you purchase them like at the drugstore? Like,
I could.
Are you feeling really strongly they must be farmer's market flowers?
Well, I just, you know, I think it's like I enjoy going to the farmer's market.
Yeah, that's a self-care act in itself.
It's a self-care act, but I've also learned that when I buy a lot of vegetables at the farmer's market, they tend to go uneaten. Mm-hmm. So buying flowers at the farmer's market is a really nice way to just go to the farmer's market, spend, as I said, $10.
Support a local business.
And I get fresh flowers on my desk for a week.
And you don't have to eat them.
And I don't have to eat them. So yes, I could go to the drugstore, but it, you know, it doesn't feel the same.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's a nice way to spend an hour just going, walking around.
Kate, last week you were lamenting the amount of honey that you consume.
It's a very random thing. But you know what, Dory? I have made it a week without chugging honey.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How is that going?
At first it sucked.
Yeah.
And now it's okay. And actually like have grown to kind of enjoy my tea with just milk.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah, where you're like, oh, did I not need this?
Well, I used to put Splenda in everything. Ooh. Yeah. And then when we did Whole30 for the first time, like 2 years ago or something, you have to cut out all sugar and artificial sweeteners.
Was it hard? Did you have a headache?
It was. The first couple of days, I had a headache. Wow. And I was like, oh my God. Oh, because I was like, I was drinking in the morning with my coffee, and then I would have like a latte with a Splenda, and then I would have like in the afternoon, I have like an iced tea with a Splenda. So like was eating a lot of Splenda.
Yeah.
And haven't touched the stuff. And I don't eat sugar. I don't add sugar to anything either.
I mean, I will say, I love honey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to cut it out of my life.
Sure.
But it does, it is good to just notice how my body reacts. I'm just trying to pay attention. You know what I mean?
Just listen to your body.
Just listening to myself. Nothing's permanent.
Exactly.
So I'm going to keep that up, I think.
I love that.
And this week, I'm going to remind myself that the thing I am freaking out about is probably not a big deal.
Ooh, that's tough.
And that's a blanket, the thing.
Not to like be like, oh, that's hard. But
no,
like,
it is.
That is like the hardest thing. I find that I go from like 0 to 100.
Me too.
Real fast.
Yeah.
And if I'm able to catch myself and like give myself a beat, I'm usually able to like rein it in. But I often can't.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's really hard. And yeah, so I hope you can do that.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, but that's a great, I love that
intention.
Once
I'm faced with the thing,
right,
am I going to remember that it's not a big deal?
Yes, and that's the thing. I never remember in the moment.
No.
Then yeah, it's
after,
really hard.
No, it's so hard. And I find it like, it's in all walks of my life. It's when my kids do something. It's if I'm nervous about something or if I think I've hurt somebody's, you know, I've done something hurtful.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean.
It's easy to spiral.
Oh, God. It's just a free ride.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Dory, this week you are.
I am putting my phone away during time with my husband.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
That's tough. Time with your husband, like if you guys are just sitting on the couch or like if you're actively like on a date.
Kind of both.
Okay.
You know, he would often kind of like be like, you're always on your phone. But like, I in my head, I was like, everyone's always on their phone. Like, whatevs. Right. And then I realized that it actually like really bothered him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like present
yeah.
with him. And he was like, I can't. Like, I would be like, you know, because one of the things we've been talking about on my other podcast, that I do with him is that we don't have that many like leisure time pursuits in common.
Ah.
And so I was like, well, why don't we watch movies? And he was like, because you're always on your phone. It's not fun to watch movies with you. And at first I was like offended. And then I was like, he's kind of right. So
Dory, I've also had to, it drives my husband nuts when I'm on my phone while we watch a movie.
Yes.
And so I have had to, and it's very hard for me because I like to look everything up on IMDb, but I've just made, like I'll put it in the kitchen and then
yep.
sit and watch the movie. And you know, it turns out the movie's a lot more enjoyable
yeah.
without the phone.
Yeah. So we did that the other night.
What movie did you watch?
Well, now we're doing a thing where each week we're going to watch one movie of my choosing and one week we're going to watch a movie of his choosing.
Oh, that's fun.
So my choosing was Pump Up the Volume.
Which is such a good fucking movie.
Which is such a good movie, which by the way,
so
is
sexy.
Not streaming anywhere. We had to purchase the DVD on Amazon.
Oh my God, seriously?
Yes.
Was it expensive?
It was like $20.
When he takes off his shirt.
I mean, I was like, oh my God. This
you
was my like sexual
about, right?
awakening.
Me too. Oh, because he was a dork, but he was
I
so
know.
Sexy. I mean, in the movie, Christian Slater was never a dork. I have to like go watch that now.
I know.
That movie titillated.
Well, you can because it's not streaming.
Can I borrow your DVD?
Yes, you can. And I, you know, I used to own the DVD and I somehow don't own it. I didn't own it anymore. So we had to buy it. But I put my phone in my room, in my office, and we watched the movie. And we've also been going on like nighttime walks with Bo.
Those are the best.
Like we'll drive to like a really fancy neighborhood.
Oh.
And take Bo on a long walk.
Through like by the big houses of Los Angeles.
Of like Hancock Park.
Ooh.
And I like deliberately left my phone at home.
Yes.
So.
And it feels weird.
It feels weird. And then when we were going home, I was like, I want to stop in Larchmont and get ice cream. And Matt was like, okay. And he's like, I'll drop you off and then I'll circle back. And he dropped me off. And then I came out with my ice cream and I was like, oh, I don't have my phone. I don't know where the fuck he is. I was just sort of like, all right. Like yeah. I just was kind of standing there hoping that, and then he walked up. But yeah, there was this moment where I was like,
It's weird, right? How did we used to do this?
How did I used to find anyone?
I mean, I've had these moments where I have thought, like, my daughter's at school and I'm like, oh, I need to remember to tell her this thing. I want to just, like, I have this urge to text my daughter.
Oh, I've had an urge to text my dog.
How, what, explain that.
Like, if he's at school.
Dog school?
Dog school. Like, you know, give us a doggy daycare.
Like, I miss Bo.
And just be like, hey, Bo, how's school? How's it going? Who are you playing with today?
You really had a legitimate urge to text
your dog. I mean, kind of. Or if, like, we're away.
Right. I know. You want to, like, check in.
Yeah, you want to be like, hey, Bo, what you doing? All right. I think it's time to wrap things up.
I don't know. We should talk about how you want to text your dog.
But, like, also, isn't it funny to think about a dog with a phone?
Yes. They would not work for them.
No. They'd be like, anyway.
Oh, boy. I'm still so turned on thinking about Christian Slater and Pump Up the Volume.
You know, he was very sexy to 13-year-old me. I had a shrine to him in my bedroom.
Oh, no, he was so...
Like a shrine. Like, it was weird.
I believe you. Yeah, his voice. Well, on that note.
Okay. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And next week, we are talking to none other than natural beauty expert and makeup artist, Jessa Blades.
Just all around cool
cool gal. Yeah, so you are going to want to tune in.
And leave us Apple Podcast reviews.
Yeah, that would be great.
Sorry. Second wind has arrived. Now I'm hyper.
Woo!
Oh, boy.